Whenever I try and do an American accent, I sound like a female when I talk like an American.
Let
like, this
it.
Is my American accent.
Sounded like a frog, not a
female. A frog! An American frog, at least.
This is my American accent. What was the word? Really, you just mean like your best impression?
No. Or I do this one, like if I wanted to sound like an American, it'd be like a frat boy. Like, Sullivan! Yeah!
Totally, dude!
Yeah! No way!
Yeah, it's giving
me oh my god.
Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles. Yeah. I love it.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of What My Best Friend Does. Today, I'm joined by my best friend, the voiceover actor, Maria Billy.
Yes, good on pronunciation.
I got that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, my dad wouldn't be proud, but he wouldn't be ashamed.
Yeah, okay.
So you've got a good balance.
I'll take that. Welcome to the podcast. Maria, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here. It's a nice day. I'm with my bestie.
Yeah, come on.
You
come
can't
on.
Go wrong.
You can't, can you? All right. Before we get into it, we like to start with a little icebreaker. Okay. So just a quick question. What did you want to be growing up?
To be honest, I'm living the dream. Do you know what I mean? I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
I am.
Okay.
Accomplished.
Okay.
Like to get in depth with it, I had a very specific dream that I'm not quite gonna sign off on yet. I'm not gonna close the door.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Yellow Power Ranger.
Hey!
Because the Yellow Power Ranger is always the woman of color in the Power Rangers. And I said, wow, this can be me.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we get to a stage where they make this an animated show.
Yeah.
Because I ain't finna do the stunts. I'm in my 30s. My body's not bending like that. So
can
who knows?
Can you give me a, it's morphing time.
Oh my gosh. Wait, don't gas me. It's morphing time. Yellow Power Ranger. Are you joking?
This is the most high energy start we've ever had.
I would do a backflip, but I just can't.
Yeah, okay. I respect
just
that.
About do a roly-poly.
All right.
Can you imagine a roly-poly into the action?
All right, let's get into it now, Maria. So you're a voiceover actor. How did this come about? Take me back to the beginning and how you've gotten to this point.
Well, I've been acting since I was legitimately like 4 or 5.
Okay.
My late uncle was an actor, and me and my sister just thought he was like the bee's knee. Just adored him. My mum even used to take us out of school to go and watch his productions. And so I've always been an actress. However, I've also always had sickle cell disease, which is a blood disorder that affects my red blood cells and can make me very sick. It's quite a detrimental disease. And so even though my love was in theatre and I just loved to perform, over the years as my health got worse, it wasn't something that I could sustain. And like by the time I got to uni, I just could kind of like, I was doing my drama degree and I just realized like, I can't sustain this. I couldn't do like a theater show, two shows a week. And then like, do you know what I mean? I just realized like I would be dead to the floor.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm the kind of actress that doesn't know how to hold back. I'm giving it on stage, especially if it's a comedy and the audience starts laughing. I'm finna act up. So just before lockdown in 2020, my cousin who is an author sent me this link for a casting call for voiceover artists or actors for a book. And it was an open casting call. And she sent it to me. And then my friend, who's also in publishing, sent it to me. And
the same one?
Yeah. And they were like, we think you'd be perfect for this. And I was just like, yeah, might as well. Literally sent in an audition on a day where I had been recovering from a blood transfusion that I do regularly. I literally do them every 6 weeks. And I was recovering from it in bed. And I just thought, I'll just give it a go. Sent it in. Next thing you know, country locks down. But I've been chosen out of hundreds of people. And I know a lot of people that went for it that I was like, oh, they'll probably get it because they've got like the following or whatever, but they just didn't care. And that process was so amazing because they gave me workshops mm-hmm. on how to work in that setting, because you can be an actress for film or for theater, but when it comes to acting just with your voice, knowing how to convey different characters and drop in from one thing to another, it's a whole different ball game. So it was a great thing.
So that process for that first job, you said you sent something in. What did that process look like? Was it like just one sentence? Was it you had to read a whole book? What was the role for? Was it a book?
Yeah, so it was a book by Dorothy Kumsen called All My Lies Are True.
Mm-hmm.
And the book basically was written to portray different perspectives. So they were like, I would say, three main characters: a daughter, the mum, and this other woman. Mm-hmm. I won't get into it too much. Mm-hmm. Spoilers. And I was going for the daughter's perspective, who would then read her things from her point of view, but she's also, in her chapters, she's doing everyone else's as well. Do you know what I mean? It's not just her mind. It's not just narrating her thoughts. It's her conversation and dialogue with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got a bit of a snippet to read, a sample that I sent in, a recording of my voice. Did it on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the standard voice recording setting that you've got on your iPhone. Sent it in. There was a next stage, which was like a workshop stage where they practiced with you. And I think it was by April 2020, they were like, you've got it. We're going to start. We're choosing you. We want you to meet the author. We're going to send you the full book.
Mm-hmm.
And through that process of the workshop, I had learned how to mark up a book, which is basically you've got the whole book in front of you, the manuscript, and you get an opportunity to read the whole thing and then decide how you're going to say each bit, which voice you're going to give to each character, which I found easy to do. But the challenge was, because there were two other voice actors for this book reading from different perspectives, we then had to match certain characters, so it didn't sound too different.
Yeah,
so course. But yeah, literally voicing like 10 characters could Crazy. Go from a scene where I will always quote this bit because it's so mind-boggling. I had this scene that I'm reading in the book where it's a flashback to when the mum is in court and the judge is talking to the mum, and simultaneously in the present I'm reading when the girl's in a sex scene with her partner. So I'm going from like, oh my gosh, and he touched my thigh, da, 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 to Mr. It was all switching up. I was tripping.
This is really eye-opening. And in terms of that markup, and I suppose delivering this piece of work, how long does everything take? How long was this project?
Well, that book, if you were to listen to the audiobook, is about 15 hours.
Wow.
So I was recording for about 3 days, 2.5.
Okay.
But the marking up, the prep time for before that, I took my time with and got familiar with the text. And I would say I just gave myself about a week and a half I didn't want to be too over-prepared and be too rigid, which was good, because when we got into the studio and I had to make some changes, I wasn't so stuck in my perception of the character that I couldn't make changes. And I think I needed that prep time so much more because it was my first book and it was so heavy. The material was not the easiest kind of material because it was delving into some touchy subject, and I had just never been in a position where I had to act more than one character at a time. Like, you don't have to do that on the stage. If most, I've done something where I've acted one character, gone backstage, come back dressed as another character, but not simultaneously.
And I suppose because you're recording, is it a little bit easier because I'm assuming you have the book there and you can just read off the book rather than having to memorize lines?
Yes. I mean, okay, so here's where it's interesting. You when you, I feel, are in theatre, depending on the material that you're given or on TV, you can kind of bend the material to how you maybe naturally speak. So maybe if the line was, I shan't go on. If you felt more natural to say, I can't go on.
Mm.
If it's in a film, you can do that. You can take that kind of liberty.
Mm.
But in a book, it's got to be word for word.
Mm.
Even if those words don't come off your tongue easily.
Mm.
And also the way that we write is so much different than the way that we speak, the way that we read. And you've got to have this kind of careful balance of not overperforming, because you want to leave room for the listener to kind of go into their own world.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting. So easier in the sense that it's all there for me, mm-hmm. but harder in the sense that I've got to stick to it. Like, I've got to take the breaths where the commas are. I've got to keep the pace of how it's meant to be. And I've not got much poetic license with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it has to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel in other kind of types of acting, you've got a bit more leeway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
To be spontaneous,
yeah,
and creative.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned that this first project took 3 days to record.
Mm.
So when you said that, my initial reaction was, that's really quick. Like, are there a lot of takes for scenes? And, you know, in my head, like, let's say it was 15 hours worth, right? 5 hours a day. Are you just reading the whole book back to back for 5 hours? Like, how do you stay concentrated for such long periods of time?
Well, we have breaks.
Okay.
And you read, and if you fumble, you pick it back up and go again. Mm. Your producer might say, let's do that line again, start going from this one again. But you just keep reading throughout the whole thing. Usually go chapter by chapter, and like, once a chapter's done, have a sip of water, take mm-hmm. a minute, dive back in and keep going. But yeah, it is, you're reading, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You're reading all day,
mm-hmm.
you'll break for a break, for tea break, break for the toilet, lunch.
Mm.
But yeah, that's it. That's the job.
Are you a fan of reading books?
I'm a big nerd.
Okay.
I remember being adamant I wasn't going to take like English literature for an A-level or uni, because I didn't want what I enjoy to be work. Jokes on me. Do you know what I mean?
And do you think that, you know, your love for books allows you to excel in the role?
Yeah, I definitely think it lends me to have more of a natural talent for it, because I know what it's like to be a reader. I'm an avid reader. I'm the kind of person that literally took a day off school to read Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows. You know what I mean? Like, I just knew I needed to read. I'm not going to concentrate. I need to read this thing front to back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? before there was binging Netflix, for me, it was binging books, and I could just read the whole thing. And I think that does give me like a better perspective, because I know the kind of person I'm reading for. I'm reading for someone that loves books, but maybe doesn't have the time to sit and thumb through it all and wants maybe a bit of assistance taken into that world without having to see it played out. So there's still room for their imagination. So I think that does make it easier for me. And I think even just from being the kind of person that would like read out loud stories to my brother growing up, I think that's definitely helped me when I've moved into like kids' books, because if you've got like a little nephew or niece, you've got to do the voices, or else you're just dead. Like, do you even care about me? Do you know what I mean?
No, I do. And with all of the theatre and acting that you did growing up, I know that you said that you kind of had to stop it, but do you feel like the skills you learned as a youngster have also equipped you with the tools that you utilize when you're doing the books and the various voice acting?
For sure. I'm someone that thinks there's no such thing as like a wasted experience. And I think everything in my life has equipped me for this job that I do, because, you know, voiceover acting is not just audiobooks. It's, you know, adverts. It's video games, it's animation, it's, you know, drama series, it's anything. So mm-hmm. Any kind of acting experience is going to enable you to do that better.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically when it comes to books, yeah, I definitely think it gives me more confidence
mm-hmm.
in being able to myself decide who a character is and round it out so that I can stay tapped into their voice. Mm-hmm. Because I'll be honest, you know, I've had recently, I was recording a book where two of the studio days were like a week apart from the last one. And I had to be like, whose voice is this again?
Mm.
What voice did I give this person? But because I've created like a backstory or reasoning for why their voice is a type of a way,
mm-hmm.
it's easier. And I don't know if I would have had that kind of skill if not for like my theater training.
Okay, so I just want to touch on that because I think this is a great point. Like that process of creating a backstory for a character so you remember the voice to give them, is that something you do in the markup period? Is it something you do in like the sit down read with the other actors? When does that moment take place? Is it something that you work on with other people or is it something you do alone?
I haven't worked with a lot of people.
Okay.
In like where we're both in the studio together.
Okay.
But genuinely, it depends on the project.
Mm-hmm.
There are some books where I know it will sound better and fresher for me if I don't mark up.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a young adult's book recently and I just thought, no, I've got to read it the way this reader will receive it. Like it's the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it was as I was going, deciding, yeah, this is this person. And being like, there was one character that was described, it was like massive and bulky man. And I just decided they had like a high voice and that's why they're just a gentle giant and they're a bit squeaky.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And this other person, his voice was going to be very, very quiet because he'd been imprisoned and underground for so long. He's mm-hmm. just not used to speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
So those were quick in the moment decisions that I've made. And I feel like I'm able to make that because I've had a lot of experience and I'm getting more experience the more I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But also because when it comes to certain types of books,
mm-hmm.
that's so they lend themselves to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've done books that are nonfiction and I will take a lot more time with that because these are real people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I take that role a lot more responsibly to make sure that I'm going to pronounce the words correctly. I'm going to understand the spirit of what that person's story is saying in that moment
mm-hmm.
and not just decide that I'm going to do it in one way
mm-hmm.
so that it's really authentically portrayed because mm-hmm. I want to do justice to that person's story.
Mm-hmm.
So it differs. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we've kind of covered it, but just to be clear, so talk me through like a typical day on set when you're going to record a piece of work. I want to understand how you prepare so we can give advice to any aspiring voice actors who want to, you know, kind of get into this.
Yeah.
And then once you've prepared, what actually happens when you're recording?
Okay. So I'll give two different examples that are like wildly different.
Okay.
Recently, I've got this new project coming out called Young's Infinite City.
Grrr, that's
available
the plug.
On Spotify soon to be streamed.
Yeah, give me some royalties, please.
And that was a podcast drama that I was recording from home
because
their production and a lot of the other actors involved are based in America. So mm-hmm. the time difference was not giving.
Mm-hmm.
So a process for me would be to go over the episode I'm going to read that day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to know how the whole thing ends so that I can go along the journey. Because I think, if you're working in like film and TV, definitely TV, often you don't know how your season ends.
Mm.
So, and that helps you stay authentic to what your character is experiencing in that episode.
Yeah.
So I take it one episode at a time and read throughout the episode. I don't just read my lines. I read everyone. So, you know, the context of the story around you, how you're interacting with the other people in the scene.
Mm.
And for me, I will do that first. Then I will set up my home studio. So my home studio will be my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
I have like a mattress topper that I use for soundproofing. My mic, stand, my book stand that you put my iPad on.
Mm-hmm.
My, what's it called? The thing that I plug my mic into.
Extension cord?
No, it's like a little sound box.
Thing. Oh, yeah, I know what you're on about.
Yeah.
Sam, what's that called? Receiver. It's called a receiver.
No,
okay.
It's not. It's not that. It's okay. Not giving receiver. It's... Yes, it's the interface. It's the
interface.
So,
go.
Yeah,
there
I have my interface.
Yeah.
So my laptop, my interface, my mattress cover for soundproofing, mm-hmm. the mic stand, the mm-hmm. book stand for my iPad. Mm-hmm. I've got my chairs, you know, and I'm situated. I set it all up. I test the sound on my mic to check that it's recording. Mm-hmm. And I usually make sure that obviously my phone and everything's on my, like...
Your customized settings.
My customized settings talked about earlier. I have
custom focus.
Yeah, I have a custom focus on my iPhone called recording where I won't hear a thing. I won't even see notifications. It won't pop up because I use my phone to... for this dog clicker app so that they can hear when I'm going to do different takes of one bit of the scene.
Okay.
So maybe let's say, give me a line.
Give me a This name. Podcast is fantastic.
So I would do, this podcast is fantastic.
Mm.
This podcast is fantastic.
Okay.
This podcast is fantastic. I do different versions of it so that they know what they want to take it from. And because I wasn't able to be live with the producer, he's not able to tell me this is what we want and then keep it throughout. So I'm doing that every time with my line. So each line I'm doing like 3 or 4 takes. And then...
Is it an app that you use for that?
So I use a software on my laptop called Audacity, but I wanted to say it the way it's written because otherwise you just think it's called Audacity, but it's like Audacity kind of vibe. So I use that to record, and then I export it, upload it through WeTransfer, mm-hmm. and send it to the producer. He'll review it and let me know if anything he wants me to redo or change, mm-hmm. and then, you know, I'll do some pickups, which pickups just means picking that back up from that line and doing it over again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and then I will log off during my breaks. I've got a day job.
Mm.
I will check emails and any work things that I need to do during that time to just make sure everything is smooth.
Mm.
And then get right back into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. It sounds like a lot. So, you know, one thing I wanted to touch upon, you know, you mentioned like the home studio, working from home. Is on any of your jobs, do they give you like work from home budget to potentially go towards purchasing like a microphone? Or
budget?
Like that? No.
You either have it or you don't.
Okay.
If you don't have the home studio, don't apply for the job.
Wow.
Yeah, but okay. I was able to use, like, I just reinvested into my... As you would do with so many things,
Of course, that's what we've done here.
Yeah, exactly. So, I very early on for, especially because around that time I launched was during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
so we weren't really studios. A lot of studios weren't open,
mm-hmm.
so I knew it would be smart for me to have my own home studio. So
I set
that up very quickly, and it's been such a blessing. Like, another example, like I said, I'll give you two, is like when you're going into a studio, sometimes it would really depend on the publishers or whoever you're working with. How much in advance are they giving you the material?
Mm-hmm.
I've literally been given something the day of, so I'm not going to mark it up, am I?
Mm.
But if I'm given something with, you know, advanced time, I'm going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that case, if it's something where you've not been given a lot of prep time, sometimes they come not even expecting you to have your own iPad or anything. So it might just be there in that moment. So I've had experiences where I'm working with other people. We will go in We'll all be situated in front of our mics, you know, say hi, get to know the producer, which I think is so key when you're doing voice acting. Someone once told me when that half the job is just establishing that working relationship with the producer, mm-hmm. because it's just you and them.
Okay.
And so, you know, you familiarize yourself, you're all good, you get your iPads, you get out any questions about pronunciation, you give it a little cursor over pronunciations, accents, you get all that squared away,
mm-hmm.
and then they let you know, guys, when you're ready, and you just start recording.
You just do your thing.
Just do your thing.
Okay, I think there's a massive takeaway from what you've just said there about getting to know the producer. Mm. You just kind of said it like, you know, it's just a big thing. You know, just make sure that you really know your producer. But yeah. We need some oomph behind that.
Okay.
You better grab your producer and give them a big hug.
Find some common ground. Understand how they like to work. Make it clear how you like to work. Find something there,
mm-hmm.
so that it's not just so, you know, we're in, you're here, I do this and do that,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I was in my last recording session, it was an interesting dynamic because I had different producers different days I went in.
Oof.
But I was able to create like a bond with them all. They were all
great.
Really nice,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to create a connection over the actual book we're reading. And mm-hmm. something I found that a lot of people don't do is recap a new producer. But I was thinking, you can't just be joining in chapter 7, knowing what's going on.
Mm.
So I'm giving it the recap, like, okay, previously on, like, before we start.
So you recap so would the producer not know what was going on?
No, wow. It's not their job to read the book. Okay. Do you know what I mean? So just so that they can feel a bit more connected to the work and feel excited,
mm-hmm.
I was telling them, okay, so this is what is happening so far. This is what I think, you know, I think this person's the bad guy, da, 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 da. And I was shocked to hear that that's not something people do.
Okay.
And I just think, nah, they've got to be.
But this is what sets you apart, right?
Oh, well, I hope so.
So just another key takeaway for the listeners, right? If you're dealing with multiple producers, make sure that you're giving them the recap.
Yeah.
Is what you call
it. Let them feel as
invested.
Involved. Invested.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, often, and I'm sure Sam will tell you, you can work with so many people in a day, in a week, it can blur together.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make it enjoyable for them.
Mm.
And, you know, that could be talking about the book or talking about other projects. Find something to connect with,
mm-hmm.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
And be honest, be transparent with your struggles. If you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to come up to a bit that's a bit hard to read, or can we take a break before we do this bit? It gets a bit deep. Or, do you know what I mean? Communication.
Mm-hmm. And I know we've spoken a lot about preparation.
Mm.
Are there any like breathing exercises or anything you got to do? Because do you remember High School Musical back in the day?
I definitely do those.
Oh, okay.
My best tips are like
Google Sharpay and copy.
This is a hard one,
yeah.
especially for you out there who love a little. Cut it out. If you know you're recording in a week, just cut down on the alcohol.
Okay.
Because alcohol affects your voice.
Does it?
Yes.
Damn.
Lack of sleep affects your voice.
Damn, so you need your 8 hours.
Yeah, I be heavy on my hot water with lemon and honey.
Okay.
I literally had to reschedule a session because I did not sound good because I had like a little bit of I have now. I had blocked sinuses from hay fever.
Wow.
And it changed the whole way I sounded.
Wow.
And my producer was like, yeah, I'm gonna send a sample to them and see if they want us to carry on, because you just don't sound like what you
sounded like before.
And it was like, they were like, and also I'm concerned with you because you basically can't breathe, because I was like
yeah.
And then I was going in because
yeah,
I was that blocked, mm-hmm. and it just happened to be the highest pollen day at that time, like it was on the news, so that they were sympathetic.
So would your advice there be, because I know there's probably going to be actors who are like, I need to work every day, I need to just show up, is it be yourself and be open and honest, right? Because if you don't sound good, maybe that's going to affect you being called back, right? So if you're struggling, to your point, make sure you let them know and reschedule the session, because you want to make sure you're delivering the top quality goods.
Communication, transparency, I think is always key in any professional workspace.
That's
a fact. And I just don't think that changes just because you're doing something creative.
Mm.
I think a lot of people have a different concept of how they should act professionally if they're in a creative workspace. But you know, you show up on time, you communicate, you know, if you're going to be late, you email ahead, you call ahead, like all of those things matter and people care about that because it's someone's time. And as you know, like studio space is not cheap. This is someone's, you know what I mean?
Damn, it hurts. No, I'm joking.
So, and I was happy to continue, but obviously they said, we prefer you to come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's fine. We communicated and it was fine in the end.
Okay, great. There's two directions I want to go in. Okay. But the first direction I'm going to go in is, so you've mentioned like the different roles that you've kind of portrayed. A lot of it sounds like it's been in books. What is your favorite type of voice acting? What is your favorite type of role and why?
Oh, do you know what? My partner just asked me this like the other day and I had such a long-winded answer. So let me try and make it short and sweet. I love acting.
Anything that pays. No, I'm joking.
No, but truthfully, I just love acting.
Okay.
So anything that allows me to flex that, I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I have a lot more experience with audiobooks and I love that feeling. Starting a book, finishing a book, it calls to something in my inner child.
Yeah.
But, you know, my latest experience with this podcast drama was the best.
Okay.
And I would love more of that. And that's more into what I want to get into. I want to get into animation. You know, that's the dream.
Little Disney and that.
No. It's giving DC Animated Universe.
Okay. So you want to be in, oh my God, what is
it? You don't know anything. Ooh. You're
It's called Mr. Who or something like that.
You see, you're not.
Isn't that what it's called? Oh, okay, damn.
I'm just going to be quiet so that you don't get cancelled. Do you know what I mean? Mr. Who? Who's that?
Do you know the... What's that what talking about, though? The DC Universe where everything is, like, flipped on his head, so...
Who is Mr. Who? What comic have you read that in? No, I haven't. You're thinking of Doctor Who on BBC?
I'm not.
Doctor Strange?
It's called What If. That's what it's called.
What If? That's Marvel. And that's where you messed up.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
The disrespect.
What if?
Yeah,
we're going to need some magic done in the post.
No. Keep that in. He don't know it. Okay. He's not a fan.
Okay, Comic-Con, don't come at me, yo.
Comment below if you're a Marvel or DC head or if you're a bit of both like me. No, something like What If would have been amazing.
Okay.
You know, anything like that. I would say as far as animated movies on series go, DC have it hands down. Okay. Like they're legendary for it. There was an actor that actually just passed away recently that was known for his portrayal of Batman.
Oh, really?
He was just chef's kiss.
So
yeah, you wanna for me, that's my goal. You know, we know so many, we may not know the names of many voice actors, but we know their voices and they've been with us throughout our whole childhood, whether it's Simpsons, whether it's Rugrats, but you know, whatever it is, they stay with you. You know, and I would just love the opportunity.
Okay. That's sick. You've kind of just answered this question, but I'm going to ask it explicitly because there's a follow-up. What would you say the most rewarding aspect of being a voiceover actor is?
I think for me, it's the fact that I'm genuinely living in answered prayer. Beginning of 2020, I prayed and I said, God, show me a way that I can get back to my craft, my passion of acting in a way that's sustainable for my health. And then this came. And I love it. There's not any form of it that I don't like, whether it's an advert, whether I'm doing a corporate video, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I love it.
I can see it in your face as well.
It's so good. And it's nice to be able to exercise that creative muscle and know that you're doing the thing that you're gifted at and getting better at doing it because you're doing it regularly. So, I mean, yeah.
Just all of it. All of it is the best.
I just love it. Oh, I love it.
Okay.
I love auditioning. Because you're like, oh my gosh, am I going to get it? Oh, I didn't get it. Oh my gosh, they liked me. They'll keep me in mind. Like, whatever. Mm. Oh, I got it. Like, I'm setting up my home studio. I love it. Oh, I'm going into the studio. I love it. Mm. I love meeting new people. I love not having to meet anyone and doing it in my pajamas. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no lows for me.
All right. Well, this is going to make the follow-up question harder because what is the most difficult or most stressful part of the job?
Okay. I think it's the fact that people are only now sort of like embracing voices of color more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this was a whole thing during 2020, after George Floyd, where non-actors of color took a step back from some of their roles in animated series and said, you know what, I'm voicing a person of color in this series.
So typically it was white people before George Floyd.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. And I'm gonna not do that anymore. So that actually happened on a show on Netflix, Big Mouth. I don't know if you've watched that before.
I haven't.
Oh, it's a funny show, but there was a character, she was a black girl, half Jewish, half black, and they had a white woman who is I don't know if she was Jewish or not actually, but she's white, who voiced her. And they, you know, she said, this is wrong. After that, she's like, this is wrong. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave so that someone who should have that role has it. Mm-hmm. And now they have a black woman that voices that role. And it's amazing. This transition is seamless.
Mm.
You wouldn't, if I hadn't told you, you'd be able to watch all seasons and not tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to show when people step out of the positions they're not supposed to be in, more people can step in.
Mm.
And that was so much a part of the reason for the casting call that got me started. They wanted to cast someone that was black British.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, like, there would have been a time where just someone white would have done it. Because how would you know? You're reading the book. Mm. You're listening to the book. Like, how would you know? Mm. So yeah, that is something that is a struggle. Like, I only recently, in all the times I've gone to different studios and met different voice artists or voice actors while I've been working, the other day was the first time I met a black woman. Wow. So not to say I've been doing it forever, but I've been doing it long enough, and I know of other women, but I had not met one. And that was a very nice feeling. And then I think the other side of it that's hard is if you were like a professional athlete, you would know when to rest those muscles.
Mm.
Whereas I'm always going to talk, whether I'm working or not. So I am actually in the process of looking for like a vocal coach that can show me the best way to protect my voice box,
mm-hmm.
so that I'm not straining. So if there are like consecutive jobs, because I had to take a break even from auditioning because it was like, oh,
wow,
it was giving Macy Gray, you know. I tried to sing I was like, oh no, they asked me to do a voice for a child. I said, oh, it's giving 72. So I definitely think that is hard.
Protecting.
Because if I was being booked every single day, how would I give them that top quality sound? How would I do it? So that's something that is challenging. And even like what I said, that example of me having hay fever, something so small can throw off a whole day. You can't really control those kind of
things. No, you can't.
So
the Alicorn tablet, it only goes so far.
It's telling you. And I had taken fexofenadine.
Oh my god.
So
goodness.
What can you do?
I don't know. Okay, what about, so great answers, can I just say. You've mentioned your love for everything, including auditions. How do you overcome setbacks, or what do you do to learn from auditions where you don't necessarily get the role? Or do you have 100% hit rate? I don't know.
No, sorry, I'm laughing because I felt myself frown and I'm just like, what do you mean? My mom has this perception of me. She says that some people see the glass as half full or half empty. And she said, I just see it as full. So it's like, it wasn't for me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
And at least it was an opportunity to exercise something. Like, I remember very early on when I had just signed on with my agent, I had got, and I can say this now because it's years has passed, but I got to almost the last stage of casting for a show for Netflix. And obviously, like, I was like gassed.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it because I'm not on Netflix. But but I was so gassed by the opportunity that someone had. I remember my agent called me and was like, brink. He's like, wow, this is the first time I've had a casting agent call me on the phone to be like, who is that? I said, oh my gosh.
Mm.
And yeah, that hasn't, you know, yielded anything even 2 years later, but the fact of the matter is it could. Mm. And that was such an enriching experience to know, right, I'm in the running up against heavyweights
for this
job with a massive streaming network. And this is my first rodeo, literally.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I seen some that say, if you catch an L, you're just one L away from a win.
Okay. That's good. That is good. People need to watch to see what you did there, right?
You need to see.
Yeah, you can't listen.
Click onto the YouTube.
Yeah, and while you're there, make sure you click subscribe.
Okay. And like, okay. And click the bell for notifications.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. So basically, despite any setbacks, you just have to look at the positives in life. And I completely agree with
what's
that.
For you is for you.
Mm.
Anything that I feel like genuinely, anything in life that you forced always yields more trouble.
Mm.
It's never smooth. And inevitably you just think, I wish I hadn't done this.
Mm.
So just leave it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. Moving on nicely into my next thing. So we spoke a lot about the first role that you had. You've touched upon just now the fact that you've got an agent. The first role you applied for, people sent it to you. Once you had secured that work, what was the process for all of the other jobs? Is it now you've got like a bit of a portfolio, it's easier to, like more people were getting in contact with you? Is it the agent who is now finding stuff for you? How did you use the momentum from that first job to propel you into, you know, making this a career?
First of all, I'm blessed and highly favored.
Hey, amen,
because,
amen.
Amen. Because the liaison I had with the publishers at that time for that first book were just like championing me, like, I think you've got a great talent, I want you to go far. Put me in touch with my agent, my agents to this day, and was like, she hasn't got a voice reel, she hasn't got anything, but this is a bit from the book we've just done. I think she's great. They signed me immediately, which is amazing. Like, I think I finished recording the book in July. I was signed by August.
Wow.
And she recommended a website that I could sign up to and get more experience and more exposure, and I did, and I've got jobs from that. And
what's the website?
Mandy.com.
okay.
Mandy, M-A-N-D-Y.
okay.
And even like one of my last jobs that I've just done, the podcast drama, was from there.
Okay.
And
what is Mandy.com?
So it's like, how would I describe it?
Casting calls.
Yeah, basically I guess it's kind of like a Facebook marketplace for jobs.
Okay.
You'll find things from ranging from like a student university film where they're not going to pay you, it's just experience, to, you know,
an Amazon podcast show.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The whole spectrum.
Yeah. So there's a lot on there that you can do. You just got to... The only thing I'm not best at is like updating my credits, because that is a bit of a long process. You've got to like go back to the people you just work with and say, I'm going to send you an email. Can you verify that I've done this job?
Mm-hmm.
And it can just be a bit long.
Mm-hmm.
I was also blessed because a friend of mine, shout out to Adi Alpha, amazing actress, producer, extraordinaire. She's amazing.
Mm.
She put me in touch with, shout out again to Kwame. Kwame Augustine, he's a voice actor, and he just took me under my wing, under his wing. Mm-hmm. And it was at a point where I had to negotiate my fee for an advert. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Because if they give me £5, I'm happy. And he was like, I love this game. I'm going to show you how to do this. Mm. And just championed me and then put me on to another shout out, 4C Voices. Mm-hmm. And they do voice reels and master classes. And I went there, did my voice reel with them. And they also, if you follow them on Twitter or Instagram, put out casting calls because they're also an agency.
4C Reels.
4C Voices.
4C Voices.
So they put out things for, casting. So because of that connection and doing my voice reels with them, I've had other jobs as well. Okay. I've had the pleasure of working with BBC.
Wow.
Because of that was just something I saw on Twitter and thought, oh, I'm on holiday, but I can shoot off a quick one.
Mm.
And next thing you know, I'd got it. And so I've had these amazing opportunities. But I will say, particularly for things like Mandy, you see you reap the benefits of the efforts you put in.
Mm.
So like some of the jobs I've got from there have been from back-to-back consistent auditioning, sending in reels, doing samples, just bombarding it like it's Tinder on a Saturday night. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
And it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. So I have obviously peaks and troughs if in my day job, because I work as a freelance administrator and social media branding consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So if in my day job things are getting a bit busy, I take a break from it. And I will only submit what my agent sent to me,
mm-hmm.
Instead of going out and fetching work.
Mm-hmm.
But if I know that I've got bandwidth, then I will, be fostering up more jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I genuinely believe it's something that the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. But that, again, like I say, is like with anything in life.
Okay, fantastic. My next question, I know you said you don't work with too many people, but from the examples you've given, it sounds like you've spoken to a lot of different like voiceover actors. What is a common skill amongst all of the voice actors that you know?
Mm. I think the best thing that Kwame said to me was, only you have your voice. Sometimes you can focus so much on doing this accent or changing your voice in this way or that way. You have your voice. And I think such a great example of that, that a lot of people would be able to connect to, is Family Guy, Meg. Mm-hmm. That is just Mila Kunis's voice.
Mm-hmm.
She's not changing her inflection in any way. That's how she sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you hear and think, yeah, that's Meg.
Yeah.
Value what is just purely yours and lean into that. You want people to buy in for you, for what no one else can give. So yeah, that's definitely the common theme.
And then what do you think has made you successful up to this point?
Oluwaseun is God.
Okay.
I can't take credit. It's God.
Okay.
But it's God. But I'll also always say, when prayer meets action, you see results. So like I said, I've always seen more results when I'm working hard, when I'm putting in auditions, when I'm hungry from work, when I'm networking, when I'm meeting new people, when I'm putting myself out there.
Mm.
That's when I find opportunities.
Yeah. The harder you work, the luckier you get. That's what they say.
I'm telling you. And it's very much facts, but also working smarter and not harder.
Mm.
Knowing which jobs I want to put that energy in.
Mm.
Like knowing my value and my worth to be like, if this is going to take a week prep, 3 days recording, da da da. Is it something that is going to be a benefit for my credits to have? Is it something that I'm going to enjoy doing? Is the money worthwhile? And I think I'm at a point in my career where I can be like, no, thank you.
Okay.
Where I can genuinely say to my agent wanted me to do something. And I was like, oh, do you know what? Nah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. To know to balance, you know what I mean? And know that people will if they really want you, they'll wait for you. I had a great opportunity of working with Cambridge University, mm-hmm. Doing their, like, the voice for their
prospectus or whatever.
No, it's actually for like the ELT, their oral exams,
okay.
when you're learning English as a language. So, and there was a time where they were asking me, can I come to Cambridge and record with them? I was on holiday. I was going to be on holiday.
Mm.
And I just had to be like, oh, I can't. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And if they want you, they will reschedule. And they did. They were like, okay, no problem. We can do it remote. When do you get back?
Amazing.
You did it. Do you know what I mean? And amazing. I've got a great working relationship with them, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. And that's not me doing anything but just being me, being, like we said from the beginning, being honest, being transparent. What can you do? What can you not do? What do you want to do?
Mm.
You'll find there's so much difference in the product of your work when you want to do it mm. versus when you don't.
Mm.
So if you know from the jump, that is not going to get you out of bed. That is not going to be the thing that you start sitting in a steam room for 2 hours, clearing up your sinuses so you can go and do this job. Just leave it for someone who will.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, it's facts. Big facts. You mentioned the fact that you got an agent and mm. the agent helps you find work. Mm. One thing I've always wanted to know, if you're sourcing your own work on Mandy and whatever, does the agent still get the percentage fee or no?
You didn't do anything.
Okay.
If I work for it, I get all the money.
Okay.
I don't even have to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's none of your business, to be honest with you. Yeah, facts.
Okay.
But what I can't do is I've done a job with someone that my agent put me in contact with, I can't do more work for them without my agent.
Because he plugged it in the...
Yeah.
Or they plugged it
First instance. So, but if it's like a contact that I've organically got without my agent's assistance, then yeah, that's all me.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sick. Do you have any productivity hacks? And I suppose from a voice actor standpoint, like, is there something that allows you to get into character, like snap into character immediately or change between the characters at a whim, or any kind of productivity hack?
Mm.
You can say no.
I'm really trying to think. I think one thing that is to challenge myself to say, you're going to do 5 sample auditions today. Or, okay, you've got a busy day today. You're going to find 2 auditions where you can just send in your reel and you're going to do that. You're going to, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's to set goals and lists. I'm someone that likes to tick things off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing that in terms of that side of things is a productivity hack for me. Challenging myself to say, in this month, we want to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've booked a job for this month and this month. We're in a new month now. What job have you booked?
Mm-hmm.
That's a productivity hack to challenge myself because okay. I like to rise up to a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff, I would just say for me, I consider everything research. So if I'm watching TV, technically I'm working.
I hear that. And we might have touched on this before, but once again, just to be unequivocally clear, for anybody who's trying to get started in the sector, what would be like the best bit of advice you have for them?
I would refer you to take a masterclass or a workshop. Like I said, 4C Voices do that,
mm-hmm.
and they're really good. It's not as simple as it might seem to just, you know, speak into a microphone or read a book. There's a lot that goes into it. So don't underestimate the work.
Mm.
And if it is something that you're passionate about, practice. Sign up to something like Mandy or Casting Call, whatever it is. Send in auditions. Practice. If you're good at social media, posting reels, practice your voiceovers on there. That's a lot of the times how I plug myself. I've had people reach out to me because of they've heard my voice on a reel and they liked what they heard.
Really?
Yeah, I've had people to reach out to me on Twitter. So
damn.
Do whatever you're good at doing, do a lot of it and make it intertwine with the voice acting you want to start.
Mm.
So if you're good at sending emails, email all the agencies, email with a rough cut of your voice, email publishers with your voice, reading a book, from their roster. Like, if that's what you're good at, if research is what you're good at, research the best equipment to have. Like, whatever it is that you're blessed in, find a way to channel that into this pursuit of voice acting, mm-hmm. and you will find success.
Amen. A couple more questions before we get into the quick fire round.
So excited.
This has been a fantastic conversation, by the way, Maria. Thank you.
I hope you're going to pay me in lozenges, because, like I said, this is my craft.
By the way, my bank account works. It's I got the checking and the savings.
These days, honey is not cheap. So yeah. If you can contribute.
Cost of living. So, you've spoken about how you're forever learning. Mm. How do you keep your finger on the pulse, and how do you improve as a voice actor, pick up new sounds? Mm. Pick up new sounds. I don't even know what a voice actor, how you add things to your arsenal. So I suppose that's the question. How do you equip yourself and make sure you stay at the top of your game?
So one thing I try to do is practice what I'm already good at.
Okay.
And the second thing, like I said, I try to research how, like, at the moment I'm looking for a vocal coach to improve how I'm using my voice just when speaking, even in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be investing in the second half of the year, I'll be investing in accent lessons, because I can do an American accent, but I want to be able to do specific dialects.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I want to be able to do like a South African accent that I can do kind of, but not all the way.
Yeah.
So just broadening what I can do with my voice.
Mm-hmm.
We're quite lucky being, I think, British. Especially Black British grow up on a lot of American TV, and it lends us to that accent quite well. And as we know, like, we can get jobs out there.
Mm.
So, if I can really get down 3 regional accents, that's a goal of mine.
Okay.
And not just like, I can be American, generic. No, like,
yeah.
Can you do Massachusetts? Can you do, you know what I mean? Like, specific. Damn,
I couldn't do that.
No, but you could.
Yeah,
what I mean? A lot of our regional accents here lend us to those over there.
Whenever I try and do an American accent, I sound like a female when I talk like an American.
Let me hear this.
Is my American accent.
Sounded like a frog, not a frog.
A frog! An American frog, at least.
This is my American accent. What was the word? Is that really, you genuinely like your best impression?
No. Or I do this one, like, if I wanted to sound like an American, it'd be like a frat boy. Like, Sullivan! Yeah!
Totally, dude!
Yeah! No way!
Yeah, it's giving
Oh my God!
Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles. Yeah. I love it. But yeah, that's definitely what I want to do. So for me, I'm researching the areas that I want to go into. So for me, it's animation and games. I want to conquer those. So I'm researching that. One of my things I'm going to do is buy a PlayStation, because I've never had one growing up.
What a tough life. I need to buy myself a PlayStation for work. I see you.
It's a business purchase.
That means I've been invested in my voice acting career for about 20 years. Damn.
No, it depends, because if you're just playing FIFA, it's not giving voice actor.
That hurt, because that's all I
know. And you know what? This is how you know that I'm just about this life. Where my partner plays, that's all I'm focused is on the announcers. I'm like,
really?
They're giving me life. They're so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, for example, like fantasy games.
Mm.
Like, I've had a couple auditions for them, but they would include motion capture, and I just don't really know the physicality of that.
Mm.
So practicing, watching that, so that I can learn, because I'm someone that learns from hearing, from seeing. So those are kind of things.
Yeah, and when you say you're learning as well, just for the listener to help with them, I'm assuming a lot of this is like from YouTube. Are there specific books or are there specific websites, just so people know kind of?
Yeah, YouTube. Okay, I'll be honest. In terms of animation, I've just been watching the kind of animation shows I would want to do.
Okay.
And listening.
Okay.
Listening to, and then researching who the person is that's voicing it, seeing is that their natural voice, or did they alter it?
Mm.
What other voices can they do? I will listen to different videos on regional accents so that I can improve mine on certain pronunciations. Like, I used to be able to do a good Manchester accent. having lived there, mm-hmm. it's really crap now.
Oh.
Because I can't sustain it for like a whole book. I could probably do about 3 sentences of it.
Mane on the map.
Oh, wow.
I can do Liverpool. You know. Can I do
Scott? Oh, yeah, go on.
Because I'm watching The Responder at the moment. Shout
you see?
Out,
research.
Shout out BBC One. And they're like, you're right, lad. Come on, lad. Oh, yeah. Where's the baggy? Yeah. The baggy, lad.
What is this show? The baggy? What?
sorry.
It's too no, fun, no, though. It's so true. Because even I was trying to do like a Welsh at one point, and I used to watch this. I'm so embarrassed to say this. I used to watch this show called The Valley.
Oh, my God. Everyone knows The Valley.
It was so good. And they'll be like, and my gateway phrase into the accent would be tamping fuming. I'm absolutely tamping fuming. And they would just like get into it. And then it's, but yeah, I need more work on my regional accents, because a lot of my work has been more RP, which mm-hmm. is just like a plain English accent.
Okay.
No, basically London, but not South.
Okay. All right, I'm with you. Couple more questions before we get into the next segment. First one is, it sounds like you work very hard, right? You said that you're a voice actress. You've also got another day job. How do you unwind?
I was going to make a joke, but it's inappropriate.
Damn.
Okay, honestly, things like hanging out with you guys, you know, our friendship group, is a really nice way. Mm. But as much as I can be very extroverted, I'm a very introverted person. Mm. So I do just like to be alone, maybe watch something, have a bath, read a book. Mm. It just depends. I can unwind in many different ways, but I just need some me time. Mm. And sometimes that me time is spending time with others, because that fills me up, the right people. And sometimes it's just being by myself.
Yeah.
A very quick way for me to reset is a FaceTime call with my mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's FaceTime, yeah.
Very hilarious.
I can see where you get it from there.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
And then the final thing. So you've mentioned that, you know, you want to get into animation, et cetera, et cetera. Where do you see your voice acting career in the next 5 and 10 years?
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, sky's the limit for me. I want to be doing feature animation films, right? I learned a long time ago that I wanted to be an actress and I wanted to be successful and known for my work, but I've got no interest in being famous. Mm. And I think that's what's so great about being a voice actress, because you can be the most successful and nobody knows you. Mm. Nobody knows your face. Mm. So I've had people say, Maria, would you go back into like film or TV, would you do something like that? I'm like, oh, at this point in my life, not right now. Mm. Because I just love the freedom of just being able to. So I would love to do, you know, we've got Spider-Man
into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, that's just come out today.
Yeah.
A role like that, come on. Mm. You'd be set. You'd be so happy. You'd be proud of yourself. Mm. Something.
Make sure you bring me to the premiere.
Where?
I know there's a list.
There's a list, you know. Mother, grandmother, But for sure, hook you up with at least the seats at the back.
Yeah.
No, but for real, anything like that, where I think for me, with growing up with sickle cell, not being well, I know what it's like to have the TV as your company. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your favorite movies or TV shows can give so much comfort, and to be able to be involved with something like that would be so fulfilling for me. Mm. To be able to be a character in someone's favorite show or someone's favorite character. Mm. Do you know what I mean? For a little girl that looks like me to be like, oh my gosh, you're my favorite. And not knowing it's me, but to be like, that character's my favorite, they're stronger, powerful, whatever, that would be amazing. And I love this idea that I could have an opportunity to do a role that if it was based on how I look, I wouldn't get. So maybe I could, I would love like, and I feel like I would be, I used to be scared of saying this, but I really want it. So I'm going to say it. I would love to be like the voice of Wonder Woman, who we don't see as a black woman. That's not her character. We tried to change Ariel black. Everybody started losing their minds.
I know.
Everybody started losing it. Oh, no, she can't be black. She can't be black. She's not real. Yeah. And now there's Wonder Woman, but, you know, they will lose, they will lose it. So, you know, but the idea that I would be able to tap into something that in this world, in live action, wouldn't allow me, that would be, that would be it. That's where I see it going. I see me being able to make my dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. Maria, just thank you, man. This has been this has been enlightening. It's been inspirational. It's been funny. It's not even over yet, by the way.
Well, I have a question for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Where do you see this going? This is your amazing new podcast. It's grown in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
You've leveled up. What? Where do you see this going in the next 5 years?
Wow.
What is your plan for this?
Wow. I never expected to be asked it live on air. But seeing as you've asked, where do I see it? Well, obviously, there are a lot of podcasts that I look up to at the moment. So I'd say the top three are, you know, My First Million. Second would be Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett. And third would be, you know, like the Joe Rogan podcast. And all of those podcasts have at least 100,000 listens a month, right? So I want to get to, you know, the 1,000 stage, then the tens of thousands stage. And hopefully within 5 to 10 years, all being well, we get to millions and millions of ears on a monthly basis. And I'd love the opportunity, whilst I'm exposing the stories of the everyday people, to intertwine that with the Stephen Bartletts, with your Joe Rogans, etc., etc., because there are some people who they do a lot of interviewing, but people don't understand their stories. So I would love to give or shed light on a lot of untold stories of people that I think the world would be interested in. So I see myself as like a hybrid of Louis Theroux mixed with Stephen Bartlett, but I'm just gonna, you know, create my own category, and I'm gonna be Adebayo, Adeosun.
It's giving. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love that. No, that is, I can, I love, like, today, even as we have been talking, you, I can see the emphasis on wanting to help whoever's watching or listening, if that is something that they're passionate about. And so I really want this to go all the way. So please, guys, share this with your mom. You know, put it on the WhatsApp. Let the WhatsApp aunties do their thing. This is where they thrive.
Come on. Damn, that's going to be my new thing. Let the WhatsApp aunties,
this is what you can give them,
do their thing.
When they ask you, when will you marry? I said, auntie, I don't know. Listen to the podcast.
Hey,
you know that's how he's
there. All right. Before we wrap up, I'm going to do just a quick fire round. Yeah. Are you ready for these questions?
I'm ready.
Work from home or work from the office or studio?
Work from home.
Okay. Money or happiness?
Money is happiness. No, I'm joking. Happiness.
Favorite day of the week?
Saturday.
Okay. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yes.
Listening to books or listening to podcasts?
I don't believe in listening to books.
Okay.
Very hypocritical. Very hypocritical. Oh, listen to my books, but no, I'm a, I like to read books. So I would say listening to your podcast.
Okay, there you go. I love that. Would you rather travel to the past or travel to the future?
I'm black. There's nothing for me in the past. To the future we go. There's nothing for me back there.
Okay. Can you imitate any famous voices or accents?
Do you believe in life after love?
No, I can't. Was that Cher?
It's Cher.
I got it.
No, I don't think I can.
Okay. And also, she uses like auto tunes. So I'm good. Give
no,
me.
No, you're part. Lying.
Did you not know that?
No, you're lying.
What?
And I don't appreciate you besmirching the name of the great Cher.
Okay, sure.
Because she's been around.
Okay. Sorry, Cher. I'm sure. Okay. Night out or night in?
Oh, night in.
Okay. Who has it easier, men or women?
Men.
No, it's the same answer every time.
when you make a human leave your body, we can talk, innit?
Yeah, I hear that. Name a book you think everybody should read.
This is gonna be so corny of me, but it's true. The Bible.
Oh, I thought, you know what? I don't mean to like throw away from that. I thought you was going to be like Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
No, that was a great book. But honestly, I think there's so many books that take up on similar themes from the Bible. And like, I'm a big fan of C.S. Lewis, mm-hmm. and he's a Christian author who wrote the Narnia book.
Mm.
And they're all like another way of talking about the Bible. So might as well just read the source, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
I hear you. And then finally, are you listening to any good podcasts at the moment?
Oh my gosh, there is a really good one that's coming out. It's Revamped Podcast. It's by this amazing young black man talking to people. I believe it's called What My Best Friend Does.
Come on! I love that. Maria, this has been such an amazing conversation. I don't know if you know, but we've actually now got a closing tradition on the podcast.
Oh my day.
So, are you ready for it?
Yes, come on, tradition.
Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 16-year-old self, and would you still be doing the same thing?
This is such a great question. Like, my first instinct is that I would say, do it sooner, right?
Mm.
But nah, I would just say, worry less. Yeah, that's what I would say to my 16-year-old self.
Mm.
Worry less. Like, the future comes to you regardless. You don't have to chase after it. Like, what I've said earlier, like, what is for you is for you.
Mm.
Like, just listen to the voice inside you, like follow the word of God, and like I truly believe the word when it says that if you focus on him, all of the desires of your heart
will be added on to.
You know it? No, speak up, say it.
It will be added on to.
Come on! It will be added on. So, and I genuinely have experienced that in my life,
mm-hmm.
that the closer I have pursued God, the closer our relationship is, and as more I deepen my love for him, all these other things that I used to fixate and worry about, they just come, and they come so much easier than they were before. So yeah, that's what I would just look into my young face and say, just worry less, because it doesn't add anything to your life and it doesn't change a thing.
And you'd still be doing the same thing with it.
I would zone it well.
Maria, that brings us to the end of this episode. I've said it a million times. I'm going to say it one more time. Thank you so much, guys. This has been another episode of What My Best Friend Does. I've been your host, Bio. Over and out.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I'm proud
of you.
That
was so good.
We got it.
It's a wrap.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What My Best Friend Does. Please make sure to like, share, comment, follow, and let me know what other professions do you want to hear about?